أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are here inshallah this evening to celebrate the 36th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. A very unprecedented experience that for the first time in the history of Islam, we experience that by the grace of God, the whole of a country is run under the authority of a jurist, our respected, most learned jurists. And this is why I say that's very unprecedented, something that had never happened at the in the history of Islam ever before. And especially with this good intention of paving the way for the coming of our dear Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And hence, wholeheartedly, join me, all of us, saying this as Alhamdulillah Alladhi Hadana Lihada وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ Alhamdulillah that we live a time as such to experience and to witness that. Now, the question that I have inshallah for you tonight, and the answer of that question is my inshallah humble contribution, is that with all respect to the Islamic Revolution in Iran, what's got to do with me living here in the States, hundreds of miles away, or all the way on the other side of the ocean? I'm living in America. What this really has got to do for me? Is my duty only to celebrate this occasion and like to celebrate the triumph of this this victory once a year on the 11th or around the 11th of February as its anniversary, and then go back home and life continues normal? Period, nothing after that? Or I have any more obligation and responsibility? My talk, inshallah, this evening is an answer to this question and a suggestion. I like to begin my talk first and foremost with the hadith, and I introduce the source of the hadith to you. Sheikh Ali ibn Isa al-Erbili. Erbil is a town nearby Mosul in Iraq, in the Kurdish area of Iraq, where at the moment there are so many problems over there. This Sheikh al-Erbili was one of our very eminent scholars in the 7th century Islamic calendar. Almost 700 years ago, this great scholar used to live, a scholar, historian, muhaddith. He has compiled a book known as Kashful Ghumma fi Ma'rifati al-A'imma, Unveiling the Veil, in knowing the Imams of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. The author in the beginning of his book says that deliberately I'm not quoting any hadith from the Shia sources to prove what we are talking about, what I'm after to prove more, concreting it more, narrating from the books of the Sunni Ahlul Hadith. Now, towards the end of the second volume of his book, end of his book, Kashful Ghumma, when he speaks about Imam Al-Mahdi Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif, he quotes the hadith from Sunan Ibn Majah, very famous book of hadith of Ahlul Sunnah, quoting from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam to have said, يَخْرُجُ أُنَاسٌ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَيُوطِعُونَ لِلْمَهْدِي. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is quoted to have said that time will come that from the east, you appreciate that Hijaz at the time of the Prophet compared with Iran, Iran would be the eastward. So it's correct for someone living in Mecca or Medina to refer to Iran as the east. The Prophet is quoted to have said that time will come that prior to the coming of Al-Mahdi, a nation will rise. فَيُوطِعُونَ لِلْمَهْدِي. And the narrator says that the Prophet meant that يعني سلطانه. That time will come that that nation will rise to pave the way for the coming of Imam al-Mahdi عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. So the whole objective, the ultimate objective of the Islamic revolution in Iran is to pave the way for the global Islamic state of Imam al-Mahdi عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. And my suggestion to that question that I propose is that every individual, especially for as the lovers and the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, has that obligation and that duty to pave the way for the coming of Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallahu farajahu sharif. That's why you see that at the time of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote his letter to the then former president of the Soviet Union. The supreme leader, Hafizahullah, he wrote recently his letter to the youth in North America and Europe, and basically reside in the Western countries, emphasizing on this duty that they have, that you are all expected to be the ambassadors of Islam. How am I supposed to really follow up the revolution that occurred 36 years ago in Iran? What it's got to do with me? Yes, my friend, your duty, my duty, the duty of every single one of us is first and foremost start an Islamic revolution within yourself, but by excelling your spirituality, by making yourself a better Muslim in practice, knowledge and practice, faith and practice. Then, and along soon with that, expand it to your family members, expand it to your colleagues and co-workers, to your classmates, introduce this beauty of Islam to your neighbors. This is the duty that you have. If you do this, then inshallah you will be among the ambassadors of Islam, and you will be among those who are carrying the flags that those martyrs in Iran, South Lebanon, Iraq, Afghanistan, everywhere else in the Middle East, that they sacrifice the blood of their hearts. And the question that they have for you is that I gave my life for the sake of this dear Islam. What have you given? What have you given really? What was your sacrifice? All right? In fact, inshallah, tonight I want to mention that one of the results, one of the reasons or contributing factors to the extreme, so-called extreme, or those deviated branch of Islam today, that they introduce Islam as nothing other than terrorism, kidnapping, hijacking, and things like that, is because you and I, as the true followers and lovers of Ahlul Bayt, we have not done our duty of a da'wah, invitation to Islam, wise invitation to Islam. Let's face it, the reason, why is it that the Wahhabi Salafis are more active in that da'wah than us? And unfortunately, we are so engaged in fighting one another on pathetic issues that gives us no time really to think about and come out of, excuse the expression, come out of our closet. So the duty, the answer that I have for that question is that find yourself, acknowledge that you are the ambassador of Islam, every individual. A man with the name of Hamad al-Samandari, a businessman, used to travel to the Western countries. His mates, his friends in Medina used to complain to him and said to him that, look, if happens that you die, do you know what's going to happen to you? You die in the land of Kufr. Stop going to the West. He comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, this hadith 1200 years ago at the time of Imam Sadiq, and the Imam tells him that, ask, I have a question for you. When you are there, are you free to practice your religion? The man says that, in fact, not only I have the freedom to practice in more than even in Medina, subhanAllah, the same as now, more than if I were living in Medina. The Imam continues and says that while you are there, do you have the freedom and are you on the mission of introducing our virtues to the non-Muslims, to others? Talk about us, or you don't have freedom, or you are not doing this. The man says that indeed, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, that's what I do as well. The Imam says that do your business. Never mind where you die, because innaka in tamut thamma tuhshar. If it so happens that you die where there in the West, on the day of judgment you will be resurrected as a nation. تُحْشَرْ أُمَّةً وَحْدَكْ. This that you will be resurrected as a nation is a title the Almighty God has given in the Quran to Prophet Ibrahim. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمْ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانَةً لِلَّهِ. Why? Because you believe and you practice what majority of people in your country don't. Therefore, you have a special respect and a status in the sights of God. God will resurrect you on the day of judgment like as if you are a nation. All right. So this is not, of course, only for Hamad. It applies to every single one of us that we practice our religion. And also, not only that, we, inshallah, are on the mission of introducing the beauty of Islam to others. And this is really making you a person that believes in that line of making an Islamic revolution. I'm not talking about establishing a state. This is not something that you, at this stage, at least, you are responsible for or anything like that, but introduce the beauty of Islam. How? Invite, as the leader, Hafizahullah, mentioned, invite people, expose the true Islam to the non-Muslims. Let them hear it from the horse's mouth. Tell them, look, enough is enough to hear from the media. Come to me. Let me introduce to someone who believes in this religion and has access to genuine sources. But in two ways, you can really invite people to Islam. Indirect, which is more effective, and direct also as well. Inshallah, with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, I will share them with you one by one. The first, let's start with the indirect invitation to Islam. This is what we say, action speaks louder. I give you some, it may sound trivial examples, but really, unfortunately, these are examples that we need to be reminded time and again. By indirect invitation, what I mean in a nutshell is that, brother, sister, make sure that you are a good citizen. Make sure that you do not become a nuisance to your fellow citizens, to non-Muslims, Muslims, especially non-Muslims. How? For example, respect the rights of neighborhood. Just all of the sudden, because you have time and you decide to mow the lawn early in the morning on Sunday, this is not the right thing. You are causing nuisance to your neighbors. Just because you want a brother to come over after business hours and do some work in your backyard, or a tradesman, you invite him over and he starts drilling, this is nuisance. This is not the right thing to go about. Okay? Respect. And above all of things, the very common example, parking. Wa ma adraka ma parking. We are observing Ashura, celebrating, commemorating. I hope this majlis is not one of them. If you did not park thoughtfully, legally, and cause a trouble to some of your American neighbors, you have not served, you have not celebrated the victory of Islamic revolution in Iran. You have given a wrong image, okay? When you go to school, this is something that our children, of course, it's a duty of the parents, but as children, as from the government school, they can practice this once they're educated about it. That your name is Muhammad, Ali, make sure that you give a good image of these names. Not like that teacher who was saying that, oh my God, another Muhammad, I have enough Muhammad. Muhammads are troublemakers. That's a shame. It's embarrassing to hear from some parents that they say, I don't want to, Sheikh, put my kids to this Islamic school. Why? Because the foul language that kids they use in this school is just awful. Worse than some government schools. Why does it have to be like this? At work, You can also be brother, sister, the ambassador of Islam with your honesty, with your decency, with your punctuality, with your sincerity, okay? That they see that this Muslim colleague, co-worker, look how honest he is in his work. I know once I say that some brothers, they turn and say that, Shaykh, at the end of the day, if I don't, it comes what in Australia we call it a beer clock. I don't know what you call it. Sheikh, when it's beer clock, if I don't join them, they label me as antisocial. So, what am I supposed to do? I tell them, brother, take the lead. Explain to them that this is not, I'm not being antisocial. What you are doing is wrong. If a gang is inviting me to join them and I don't, does it mean that I'm antisocial? I'll tell you soon that have the wisdom. Explain to them, tell them, all right, this Friday evening, let's go be my guest. We are going to have another beer. Let's have ginger beer. I don't know. I just give you an example. Why does it have to be alcoholic? Take the lead. I'm not saying that compromise your values so that they say he's a cool dude. No, stick to your values, but at the same time, have the talents and the skills to explain yourself. All right, live in such a way that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has been disciplining his companions, and he said that live in such a way in your suburb that if they want to nominate the most honest person, the most decent person, the least harmful person, the most helpful, in fact, person in this suburb, they say that that Muslim family living in down the road. And then people say, "Rahimallah Ja'faran laqad addaba ashaba." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, live in such a way that people, when they see the way that you behave yourself, they say, may God bless Ja'far. Look at these Shia Muslims. Look what kind of good Muslims they are. May God bless them. They really coming from a good background. This is indirect. In other words, be a good practicing Muslims. Stick to your values, but at the same time, make sure that in practice, people, they perceive you as a good and honest person. Second, that is direct. Direct way, I appreciate that needs a bit of education, needs intelligence, needs inspiration, and it's something that we need to have workshops for, we need to learn about it. The Almighty God in the Quran says, "Ud'u ila sabil rabbik bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana," invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom means that when you talk to them, present yourself in a common sense. Use the common sense. Speak a language that they understand it. See the ayah of the Quran that the Almighty God says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. We send no messenger but with the language of his community. Doesn't only mean that you speak English and therefore you can go out and do the preaching. It's understanding the language also means their culture. You understand the way that their brain is wired. I give you a quick example. A priest, in fact, a former priest, by the grace of God, he became a Muslim. We used to be friends, and once I invited him over to my house. He parked his car on my driveway and just hugged his puppy to come to my house. Oh my, I didn't want him to come with his dog. Well, what am I going to say to him? If I tell him that dogs are najis in Islam, he's going to get offense. Huh? He's going to get offense to that. Subhanallah, it just came to my mind. I said to him, John, I'm so sorry, beautiful dog, but I'm allergic to dogs. Do you mind keeping him in the car? Oh, so sorry, Mansur. And kept him in the car. And kafallahu al-mu'minin al-qital. How could I explain to him that dogs are najis? Okay? So we need to know how to speak to them to make sense. To say, oh yeah, you make sense. Udu' ila sabil rabbik bil hikma wal mu'izati al hasana. Good admonition. What is good admonition? An example of good admonition is that, my friend, don't hasty that the first time you meet him, you have to become a Muslim, otherwise you're going to be hell bound. No, that's not the right way. First, break the barrier the media had made that I'm not a terrorist, I'm not a horrible person, I'm not, I don't know, I'm not alien. I'm a human like you. I'm harmless. Relax. Second, we've got common issues. At the end of the day, our continent is like a ship. If it sinks, we are all gonna drown. We've got issues about our youth, Muslim or non-Muslims. Let's work together on common issues. Quran says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. First, start with the common things that you have. And bit by bit, really, like a very patient hunter, you just give them, they don't give, overdose them, that they can't take it. مَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. And the bottom line, if you really have to, and I tell you that debate is not a norm in Islam. Debate was not something that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt had condoned or had encouraged their companions to do. Yes, with exceptional cases, in exceptional situations, even then, Quran says, even if you were forced as the last option to a debate, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي يَحْسَنْ. Debate with them in the best mannerism. What is the best mannerism? Quran says, look, learn from me. I'm the omniscient, all-knowing God. Yet God says, tell them, Muhammad, وَإِنَّا إِيَّاكُمْ لَعَلَىٰ هُدَىٰ وَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Either of us is wrong, the other one is right. God doesn't say, I am, of course, absolutely right, you're wrong. Look at the manner of the debate and the discussion. Now, my remaining time, and time is running out, I want to touch on some of the characteristics of the one who wants to go on the mission of inviting, especially the direct invitation, introducing Islam. Quran has given us the role, the best role model, the Holy Prophet of Islam. And yet, when he sends the Quran, says, Ya ayyuhal Rasul, Ya ayyuhal Nabi, Ya ayyuhal Nabi, Inna arsalnaka shahidan. My dear messenger, we have sent you as an ambassador of Islam, the messenger of Islam, but the first characteristic is that you are a shahid, you are a witness. What does it mean? Yani, you brother, sister, you can do by far better job than me as someone who is living here in your area. All right? Because you know your community, you know these Americans better than me. You witness their issues. You know what concerns them. You know how to, you are expected to know how to talk to them. What you required is the Islamic education. Otherwise, in terms of, you are witnessing them. In other words, Quran says that a preacher who is so isolating himself from the community, he cannot be a successful preacher. My teacher was saying that, my lecturer was saying that, if you ever come across a psychologist who has written books in the library, never been on the field, he has written something, but not psychology. You cannot be a successful preacher unless you live with people, shahid, and witnessing their issues. Look at the study, the lifestyle of the Imams and their companions. Imam Sadr, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, used to go to the same public bathroom that others would go, even non-Muslims, Christians, the Jews. All right. On those days, there wasn't private block bathroom in people's houses, obviously. For bathing people, they would go to the public bathrooms. Imam Sadr al-Islam did not isolate himself. A very eminent scholar and companion of Imam Sadiq, his name is Abdullah ibn Sinan. He comes to the Imam and says, "Inni u'iru thawbi ad-dhimmi. I have lent my clothes to a Christian. He had it for a while and then I took it back. Do I need to wash it?" The Imam says, "No, our scholars have driven a principle from this hadith." What does it show? It shows that Muslims, they did not segregate themselves from non-Muslims. Yet, remember, without compromising their values. Without compromising their values. And that's why Quran says, we send you as a witness that yes, you live like them. You go to work like them. You are living at their neighborhood. So that you observe, you know what the situation is. And the second, shahidan wa mubashiran, also speak of the good, give them the good news. Not that if you don't become a Muslim, you're hellbound, you'll be burned, and things like that. The prophet sends Ma'ath to tabligh and then says, Ya Ma'ath, bashir wa la tunaffir. Speak of the good news of the, like, give glad tidings of this. Not that, don't make them like, I don't want this Muslim. I don't want this religion. The first day he's become Muslim has to be circumcised. Relax. Take it easy, brother. It's not that the first day she's become Muslim, now she has to observe the hijab, has to pray 17 rak'at, and even nafilat al-layl. Relax. Relax. Take it easy. It's a gradual process. Has to take its process. Even brothers marrying a neo-Muslim, take it easy. They have to take their time gradually. It becomes more concrete and more lasting. And the third, the Almighty God in the Quran says, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ. Be the ambassador of Islam, but under the instruction of Islam, not your own whim and desire. Not that I don't want to offend her and therefore I stretched my hand to shake hand with her. You are not allowed to do that. Stick to your values. You can stick to your values well and at the same time have a good presentation, as long as you have the talent to explain yourself why I'm doing this. What is the wisdom behind this protocol? And you can, by the grace of God, we are coming from a religion that is such a sensible religion. So da'iyan ila Allah bi'idhni, with the leave and the permission of the Almighty God, not the way that you like to do it, as you wish to do it. The fourth, the Almighty God says that at the end of the day, you come across some difficult people, that they are brainwashed, and therefore they are troublemakers. They are being rude and offensive to you. Quran says, اتفع بالتي هي أحسن. Repel the evil. It's evil what they do, yes, but repel the evil with what is best. Meaning that repel the evil with good. Until keep doing it, doesn't make, now it will. Absolute majority, I'm not saying 100%, but absolute majority of people, with time you can win their hearts. From Aladdul Khasam, the worst enemy, you can turn them by winning their hearts to make them waliyun hamim, like as if they are your close mates. You can do that as well. That's a duty also that you have. Only if you have a big heart. Quran says only if you have patience, that you don't want to do it over and out, you don't want to achieve over the night, be patient, you'll get there. And finally, and I'm checking my time, finally, a duty that we have is what I call it after sales service. You know that one of the ways that companies today, corporate companies, are competing one another by the customer service. As Muslims, also we have to have these concerns also as well, that it's just not enough that I went out and by the grace of God somebody in my hand became a Muslim. What next? There are customers, after sales services. I'm using this business expression, you know what I'm talking about. That, do you know, for a boy or a girl to become a Muslim, how much they have gone out of their way to become Muslim? What they have gone through with their families usually to become Muslim? So they are facing, encountering numerous issues, occupation, their job, occupation, their marriage, socialization, and everything is completely like they have come to a new world. Are we there for them or not? How come that on occasions we invite them and we are showing off with them, sending them on a stage that speak, brother, sister, how you became a Muslim, but off the stage, I don't want to know anything about him? How come that some parents, unfortunately, this is reality, I've observed it, some parents, they don't mind their sons marrying a white American, all right, girl, but they do object when a white American decent Muslim is proposing to their daughter. Now, not only that, often they say, I'm not giving my daughter to a non-Arab. Brother, what kind of Islam is this? Where do you get this Islam from? This was not the practice of your prophet. This was not the practice of your imams. You are supposed to be the role model for these new Muslims, but this you are like giving a wrong image of Islam. After sales service also is a duty that we have. It's about the time. I appreciate that we are living at the time that we are magnified. We are living at the time that really we are under absolute surveillance of the whole world. There's a big challenge today for you and I, but that challenge in fact is an opportunity at the same time, if we take advantage of it. They have magnified our religion. That's good. That's really good. Don't be scared if they are attacking Islam. I swear to God, I bet you, as it has shown in the past few decades, the more they attack Islam, the more Islam will be grown. The more concern and curiosity they are going to create. In fact, they don't realize they're advertising this religion of Islam. Read between the lines. Only if you and I take our responsibilities, that all of us are the ambassadors of Islam. Not only if I'm wearing the turban, okay? I told you, even children, our children are the ambassadors of Islam. We have to really find ourselves and work together and make sure that our Islamic centers now, they have to have a da'wah committee. We have to have think tank sessions, seminars, workshops, all work together. How we can introduce this beautiful religion of Islam to the wider community. Introduce it to them. And this is all what makes you following the path and the aim and objective of Islamic revolution in Iran. And this is what the leader, the supreme leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran is expecting. And all our maraji, all our scholars, and above all, that's what our dear Imam, may the Almighty God hasten his reappearance, is expecting from all of us. Thank you very much for listening. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin bi a'la aswatikum.